Hello.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comic Book Club. With your host, Peter Kane, Justin Ryder, and Alex Talbot.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Good evening.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Replacement Booth
Man. Replacement Booth Man! We gave regular Booth Man a bunch of hormones, and he got all big like that guy.
That's how hormones work.
Estrogen.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Been a pretty exciting day. So
yeah, it's been an exciting day. Wow. A lot of great stuff going on.
What happened? Wasn't there something in the news?
Yeah, something in the New York Times?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Alex, congratulations. I heard you're the host of Combo Club.
Yeah. In case you don't know, there was an article in the New York Times in which Alex was quoted about Robert Kirkman becoming a partner at Image. And Alex was labeled as the host of Comic Book Club, which makes sense.
Yeah. Right, because it's a denotation of quality.
Right. Oh. Wait, what?
You wouldn't understand what that means.
You didn't have to call us dwarves, though.
Not only am I the only host.
It was a little rude.
Yeah. It was a little rude, and I was surprised they quoted it. They didn't even say anything about Robert Kirkman. I was just like, my co-hosts are dwarves.
Yeah. Oh, you do know the word.
Said Alex Albin, the only host of Comic Book.
It's funny, I didn't know if you knew the word co-host. That's the problem. I thought that was the main problem there. You didn't know that the co means
team. No, I know what it means.
Oh!
Man. Well, congratulations.
I'm sure you guys will get in like Newsday or something. We're very excited about the show today because we have a great guest returning. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Robinson! Yeah. Thanks so much for coming back on the show, Alex. We're very excited to have you. One of the things we're talking about, or the main thing I guess we're talking about, is this book, which normally doesn't look like this. It's not quite this floppy. But Too Cool to Be Forgotten came out. Well, when did it come out?
It either comes out tomorrow or possibly last week. I heard people saying it is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, someone got it on Amazon last week, so I think there's some kind of temporal distortion going on.
It's
perfectly in sync.
That's a tie-in.
For those who don't know, just could you fill us in a little bit on what the book's about?
It's about a middle-aged gentleman like myself who wants to quit smoking, and so he gets hypnotized, and what he winds up doing is sending him back to 1985, where he sort of has to relive his adolescence in his teenage body. So it's a sort of time travel story about high school, which elements. How can anyone resist that? Combination.
One of the things that I thought was most interesting about this book is that it's focusing on one character, and I think something that you're known for is multi-character Robert Altman-esque comics.
Right.
Why the change?
Well, I wanted everything to be right from the main character's point of view, so that really sort of cut down the number of subplots and supporting characters, because he's in every single scene in the book, so because of that, I couldn't really show. Meanwhile, over in the other side of town, the people with Spider-Man and everything like that, everything had to be from his point of view, so that really made it a lot shorter and more.
If I had one criticism of the book, it was that there wasn't enough Spider-Man. I'm sorry,
what was your criticism?
It wasn't a real criticism.
Yeah. Well, you are the host of the show, I should.
That's why it's a bad rumor to start. It's bullshit. Now I don't know what to do.
Talking like this, I'm not going to invite you back to the show.
Yeah, I don't know. In fact, we've just been recurring guests. He cannot get anyone else. That's the problem. Anyway, back to the show, Matt.
I was a good host.
Hey,
call it the New York Times.
I think,
So your one criticism of the book?
No, it wasn't actually a criticism. So we'll move on to that.
This book made me cry. I was reading it at work, and everyone. I work at a restaurant sometimes, and
sometimes.
Well, a lot. I was. was reading it at work.
When you're not guesting on my show.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is most
it's
going to
get old, Alex. It's going to
get old. I was like, that's the last time I can say that. So
good. That's why you're a good host, kind of. And I was reading it, and like, I got all teary up, and everyone was like, did someone say something at the table to you? And I was like, no, it's this book and it's about smoking. And they were like, I don't get you.
But no, realistically, it's a very touching story. And it's one of those ones where you don't really see it coming. It's not telegraphed.
Right.
It's really just like a great moment. And I did as well get choked up.
Wow.
Yeah. And
Pete has a heart.
Yeah.
It was like in The Grinch when it goes.
Yeah, so that, it was new. I was like, what is this thing?
They do 10 times more.
And then you have a heart attack.
But yeah, it's a really great story. I feel like almost talking about what the story about doesn't really sell how good of a story it is.
Just,
it does a really great job of like, of seeing where this guy comes from and how he is who he is. And I really love the interaction with not only his parents, but his sister. It's just great. It's really well done.
Oh, well, thank you.
talking a little more about the book, I think something that you do with each successive book is you push the panel structure quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So what was your idea going into this, or was it something that just kind of came as the story came? And specifically what I'm talking about, for those of you who haven't read the book, since it's only come out in some time.
Time Travelers Among You.
Is, there's panels.
It's in the back, where the all the panels link up in the nature.
Yeah, I think I know. The one with the faces?
Yeah.
Well, it's I sort of did two big pages where the panels sort of add up to two faces, but they're sort of hidden, and it's really hard to describe, so... Yeah, you can probably see the face is easier when you look at it close up. They're made up of things that are not.
This is like a hawk and a flower and a bee and a baseball player.
The best thing is everyone picks their own flower.
Thank you for coming to our story.
Well, there wasn't any conscious decision to make it any weirder or anything like that. It's just sort of I just follow my instinct and hope it comes out okay.
Good instinct.
Thank you.
So what's next, or is it just it's traveling around at this point?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of conventions and appearances on shows like this one.
We're on the circuit.
I hear you, man. We've been touring this show and this show and this show, and boy, it gets daunting.
Well, tomorrow morning we leave for San Diego. We're all going, but not together.
If you just called us, we could have. We'll travel great together.
We'll rebook our flight or whatever you need.
he said yes, right?
Anyways.
I'll call you guys about it.
Cool. Wait, you have my number, right?
Yeah.
He's breaking up with us.
It's not you, it's me. It's me.
Always makes me feel better.
Yeah. So I haven't started working on anything new just because the whole process of promoting this one has been very, high. Oh, poor me. Promoting the book, so probably in the, August, hopefully I'll dust off some ideas I've been kicking around.
But you have to be happy because it's been out there. Like, I saw it on Wizard. It was on the main page of Midtown. And, like, every time I pick up something that's got to do with comics, they're talking about that, so.
Yeah, I'm not even cheap that stuff, so. So everyone please buy a copy of the book. A lot of graft to pay off.
All right, so this hit stores last week, so definitely pick it up. And let's move on to our first section, which we like to call the stock. First thing we are going to talk about today is Final Crisis Rogue's Revenge number 1 by Jeff Johns and Scott Collins. Formerly of the Flash title, returning to characters that they helped define, I guess. What do you think about this title?
I liked it a lot. As with both big summer events going on right now by DC and Marvel, the satellite books are way better, Vanna White, are way better than the main titles. And this just carries it on, where it's like, good story, we don't have to deal with all of the Salvation Run and all that shit that DC wrote. Because Jeff Johns just moves past it.
Yeah, it's actually surprising to me that you like this because you didn't like the Rogues that much.
Right? I don't like the Rogues because they.
Rogues, by the way, are, for those of you who don't know, Flash villains. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. I thought there was going to be more.
Yeah.
the Flash, I guess, is a better way of.
Or you could say that.
Flash villains, like.
Right.
Rogues. You can call them like rogues.
Who are the rogues? Freeze guy.
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold. Way off on that. Freeze guy.
Mirror guy.
Mirror man.
Mirror master.
Oh, you sound dorky.
Oh, I sound dorky on our comic book show?
That's what I'm saying. You have a problem. Here we're all equals, and you're dorking yourself.
Because I know the character names?
Weather Wizard.
See?
I sound like a dork.
Yeah, they're all dorky. I mean, the thing that Jeff Johns did was he took these incredibly dorky characters and gave them very realistic backgrounds, really fleshed them out, gave them reasons for being villains. And this is following up on that. It's really, really nice to see Johns and Collins on this title again.
Yeah.
Really what he does is he fleshes out the villains and gives them reasons for being losers, basically. Yes. And they're all losers who happen to have superpowers. Because it's not, it always seems weird the Flash is fighting a guy with mirrors. It's like, he runs fast. A mirror. Run away
well,
fast.
Well, they're the opposite.
Yeah. They don't, you wouldn't interact with a mirror very much as the Flash.
I don't know, you would run into a mirror.
Or you would stop and check yourself out. And then
he'd be like,
I got you!
Yeah.
But what I like about this is it really talks about how, especially with the old school villains, how they have certain codes that they live by, and one of them is, you know, that you find out here is you don't kill. You know, they're like, you know, we're bad guys, yes, and we like to torture and torment and steal money, but you know, we try not to kill. So it's a kind of an interesting backstory. And
well, it's like you try not to kill too, right?
Yeah, I try not
and fail
miserably. Watch out, guys. Would you say pick this up?
And the art's very good as well. Definitely pick it up.
Great. All right, let's move on and talk about X-Force number 5. Let's talk about this. X-Force is basically about a bunch of sharp characters fighting stuff.
Yes.
Right? Woo.
Which is an awesome team up. Like, right. Why not take all the good guys who are either have claws or look like a wolf, put them on one team, and just have them kill, destroy, wreak havoc.
Right, and in this issue, they add in a character who flies and has knives for wings. Go on.
Right. So my whole problem with this comic so far is it's been a lot of like story and great stuff, but all the guys that you want to see tear and rip stuff apart aren't doing anything. And this one, there's finally action, but it's not your team called the X-Force.
Should
it's like, let's
them?
Have a badass team, but not really have them do anything.
We've been replacing all the pages of X-Force with our own pages of talking. There's been 5 issues of a comic. It's all fighting, all blood, red eyes. All
Actually, it comes with a blood pack in it. Usually, you won't be worried about
that.
Getting
would be
it
awesome.
You
imagine you could just like pour blood. Like, I love this comic.
Awesome.
That's like being in hell.
The thing I was really surprised about is there are people getting their heads chopped in half in this particular issue. And you've complained for 4 issues, you've been like, there's no violence, I don't understand, nobody's getting torn in half. People, double page spreads of people, like their intestines pouring out and falling in other people's mouths.
But it's not, it's called X-Force, which is the wolf team, but they don't get to do any of the, you're like, hey, well, I have this amazing team together. They're not going to do anything. But there's going to be action. It was like,
they're
going to
do stuff. Next issue.
Yeah, you've been saying that for 4 issues.
You promised me, Zalvin. What I like is you see blood in this, but you're like, no, I want Wolverine's middle claw. I want that one to do the killing. It's other ones. It's other claws.
I'm saying, why put such a badass team together if you're not going to use it? That's my bottom line.
I have a feeling they're building toward it, and it will be good.
I just have a lot of faith in Kyle and Yost. I mean, they've been
great.
What I think they've been doing is essentially building the danger every single issue. They've put together the worst villains in X-Men history. Absolutely, the not worst, like terribly written, but like worst in terms of threat level. Building it up to the next issue, which is the end of the arc, where they're going to have a big bloodfest.
Let's hope so.
All right.
You say don't pick it up.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, we have to pick up the first ones to know when the blood comes.
Not if you're Pete. All right. Let's move on to something Pete has been picking up, which is Helen Killer.
I'm just picking up this. I can't believe they did it. Like, how could you do that?
Here's something I would say that I've been waiting my whole life to see. Several pages of Helen Keller
totally dude.
Yeah.
Weird.
No, I'm kidding. I can't believe they made this comic.
That is what happens in the book.
Yeah, I'm not kidding about the fact that the first several pages are Helen Keller naked and screaming at ghosts.
How,
you write enough letters and they'll do whatever
yeah,
you want.
Oh, man. How did this happen?
For those of you who haven't read the first two issues,
Joel Vance? Wow, big Helen Keller audience.
Helen Keller is about the lost years, or the supposed lost years where nobody knows what Helen Keller is.
And this is true. He backs the last page is historical fact, quote unquote, of like, yeah, Helen Keller was gone for 6 years. Maybe she was killing me.
So she gets these
I don't know.
Glasses designed by Alexander Graham Bell that let her see and hear and also learn martial arts and also see the evil in men's souls.
Yeah. Those are good glasses.
Man. Yeah.
Why would you give those glasses to everyone?
Well, because they make you really upset.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to ruin the most ridiculous... line in the book is at a certain point, Helen Keller says, "Don't make me irate. You wouldn't like me when I was irate."
See what they did there? It's for the more literate. They're audio audience.
Right.
Is it supposed to be funny or is it supposed to be...
I don't know.
I hope.
The problem is you would think it's supposed to be funny, but then he spends a really long time at the back of every issue trying to back it up with some sort of historical fact. Like this issue, Alexander Graham Bell's arch enemy, Elias Shaw, who was several minutes late returning the patent for the telephone, is the villain who is studying anti-alchemy, which turns gold into lead.
Twist! That's a twist.
Yeah, FYI, I'm totally ruining this issue for you guys. But he spends the last page being like, I don't know what Elias Shaw was like, but all of this is true.
The fact that he was working on alchemy and
but that he like
that
died mysteriously around the same time McKinley was almost assassinated.
Everyone died mysteriously back then. They didn't know what they were
doing. I just hope that this comic doesn't do well, and then because if this does well, then it's going to be like Mother Teresa. Like, what the? I don't.
Mother Teresa.
I just don't want it to continue.
Harriet Tubman.
Oh.
Well, that's a totally different thing.
Actually. I don't understand.
All right, let's move on and talk to about something else, which is Batgirl number one.
You didn't read it.
Yeah,
you didn't read it.
You did not read
do you just
it.
Like to clap? Or are you like a clapping fan?
Aren't you?
You're Chewis. Oh, that's Batwoman.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You already clapped.
This is the worst book of the week.
Definitely.
Wait, it's worse than Helen Keller?
Yes. Helen Keller has...
At least it's ridiculous.
Yeah. This is... The terrible part of this is they're trying to reestablish Batgirl. And this is the Batgirl that was... she's the daughter of an assassin and all this backstory. She's been gone for a while. And they literally have two pages of talking heads of Batman and Robin being like, and then Batgirl did this. And they're talking in the Batcave to her. And they're going through... It's ridiculous.
This is after the first 5 to 10 pages or so. I've essentially also very clunkily recapped exactly what's going on with Batgirl.
Yeah.
And then they have in the middle of the book, just in case you forgot to read the first 5 to 10 pages, an even longer recap.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's like having a long, terrible phone conversation.
Sort of doing the whole history.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the other thing is, they're talking about her like she isn't there. As
she
if
is
it's
there.
Like she's literally standing there, and they'd be like, and then there's the other stuff happened to Batgirl. And they're explaining it to Nightwing, who knows what happened. So,
yeah.
It's totally inexplicable. The other thing that they do in this issue, which we talked about a little bit, is...
You don't have to read it.
The other thing we talked about is whenever there's a new member of the Bat family, one other member of the Bat family always has to hate that new member.
Drama is created thus.
Right, and it rotates that way. Like, Robin hated Damian, So Nightwing hates Batgirl, and Batman hates Batwoman, or something like that.
There's some math there. You got to work it out.
Yeah. I don't know. It's totally ridiculous. Awfully, awfully good.
Yeah, the art's good. Jim Califore.
Yeah.
Califore.
Califiore.
Nice work.
Thanks. I'm glad we spent time to figure that out.
We didn't actually figure it out, by the way. We just guessed a number of times.
It was an extra guess based on looking at his name. Would you say there's anything about this worth picking
up? No.
Cool. Okay. All right, let's move on to talk about Omega the Unknown, number 10, by Jonathan Latham and Farrell Dalrymple. We've been very positive on this series.
Yes.
And I think you guys were a little mixed on this last issue, right?
I mean, it's done an amazing job up until number 9, and I feel like it could have just ended with 9 because this issue is just like a... It's been a pretty tripped out series, but this issue is just like, what the... Like, where...
Well, I'm surprised that you didn't like this because there were no words.
Exactly. Your crusade against words, you finally won, and they didn't put any in this book.
Yeah.
Was that intentional, no words?
I hope so.
otherwise, my issue is broken.
You gotta shake it. I guess it works.
I really like this a lot, actually. I thought it was very... It's been a quirky, interesting series throughout. It's definitely played around with the format of the comic book several times, and I think to have an entirely silent issue was an interesting way to end this. This issue is essentially an epilogue showing us what happens to all of the characters.
And the art's really cool. I will say, I feel like this is something, there's not a very strong narrative. It goes off in so many directions, and at the end you're like, what?
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
A drug thing. You sound like an old man. It's a drug, you do your drugs.
It's kids and they're drugs.
You read the book.
They
sold 3 copies.
1, 2, 3. Actually, the sales were pretty low as it kept going down, but everyone keeps saying, oh, it's a book for trades. It's going to do well in the bookstores because it's Jonathan Latham.
I hope so. I mean, 1 through 9 was solid. It did a really good job with storytelling and artwork, but this one was just, like you said, it was an epilogue for no reason. It wasn't like you have to find out what happens to it. It's just like, this guy gets old. This guy
gets lost. I
thought
it was really sad, actually, which I liked. I mean, I thought it was a really interesting way to end a anti-superhero series, which pretty much has been across the board. That, you know, Omega the Unknown comes, defeats these robots, and then just withers away over the course of the issue. It's just
awesome. Great.
Now I don't have to read it.
Sorry, spoiler.
Bumped you right out. Yes, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you like
would you say pick it up?
You like being
Yeah, I love watching people withering away. It's the best.
That's why he keeps having us back. We're slowly aging.
It's pretty cool. Would you say pick it up?
I haven't read the whole thing issue to issue, so maybe in a trade perhaps it might all hang a little bit better. But it's definitely worth picking up just to look at though.
I hope when they release the trade that they include the covers, actually, because I think the covers on this series have been spectacular and interesting throughout. I would say definitely pick it up. You guys would say wait for the trade?
Sure.
Cool. What?
You were shaking your head.
No.
All right, let's go on talk about Perhaponauts, number 3. Pete, you love this series. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the artwork is out there a little bit, which is nice, and it's not your average comic where it's exciting, it's different, it's kind of fairy tale-esque a little bit with a little space thrown in there. It's well written, funny, and it's not sad.
Rainbows in your face.
That made me sad.
Yeah. Well, you should be happy about that.
It's very good. It's like reading the Fantastic Four. The regular Fantastic Four kind of sucks right now, I think. And this is very good. It has that same like we're the challengers of the unknown. We're going out into the universe, and it's cool. It's well written. The art's great.
Yep.
This has grown on me. I wasn't crazy about the last issue, which was, I think, the first issue I read out of, it was the second one. Whatever, anyway.
We'll get the facts.
If you guys want to know which issues I've read, come and talk to me after the show. Perhaponauts number 3, it's growing on me a little bit. I still think it's a little too quirky for its own good, but it hasn't really gelled as a cast. It feels like, what if Bigfoot was on a team and also a fairy and a ghost?
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's a great team.
It's all good things.
Yeah, They should hire me to go around to complain about
that. If they had a robot and a pirate,
I think they do have a robot.
Spoiler. Oh. Yeah.
Do they have a robot? Okay.
Yeah. And there's also some ships a lot.
Yeah. There's gremlins.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Yeah. Let's move on and talk something about is a little light on story, which is Frank Frazetta's Swamp Demon. just to explain this before Pete goes into why he liked it. of course, is the guy who draws this kind of stuff. This is one of his drawings.
What do you mean by this kind of stuff? What does that mean?
Like, he draws, like, an ogre fighting a woman, or, like, a dinosaur versus Conan. Like, it's a...
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
A monster versus a man.
Yeah, kind of stuff.
Right.
Really nerdy stuff.
They're writing entire comic books that are based on his paintings. Now, Pete.
Well, here's the thing. It's also... The entire comic book is based on this painting. Right. Like, it all is... All the characters leading up to this, and then it shows it, and then you're like, oh. And then all the characters leave.
Well, it's using it, be like, hey, this is a great... picture, it's maybe so good of a picture, I could write a story about it.
It's like being like showing like the Mona Lisa eating breakfast and eating coffee, and then seeing her walk and then being like,
yeah. Awesome! No, I would love that! We would be great!
Who
wouldn't like that? You're like, wait, she ate breakfast before this painting? That's awesome.
Really fleshes out her story.
Yeah.
The other thing with this, it feels like you could play Final Fantasy III on Super Nintendo, and it's the same exact thing. It's like a battle between
druids and demons, and that's pretty much it.
But he literally, like, they're like, oh, I hope they don't cast the woman spell, and then the woman appears. And it's like, well, that's just like playing.
It was a demon spell, wasn't it?
Whatever. A woman showed up.
Yeah.
She had a snake on
The art is as stiff as this picture is actually my biggest problem, to give it an honest criticism about it.
Well, good. I'm glad you're finally being honest.
It's just the art, none of the panels connect at all.
It was really confusing to read. Also, there was not much of a story. A bunch of ogres are hunting people in this
room. Well, ogres do that!
Okay.
How do you know?
Come on, what do you think ogres do?
I don't know any ogres, but I want to know.
Get out
there. Backstory on the ogre. Get out where?
Get out there, little.
Where? Tell me where little ogre country is.
Yeah,
you live in Park Slope. Are there ogres in Park Slope?
I don't. I live in Prospect Heights.
Prospect Heights.
He's right. You do have to get yourself out there. Would you pick this up?
Yes.
Boo.
You guys haven't given a fair shot. It's... Yes, it's a monster story, but it's I mean, the art's good.
Yeah, you're right. It's a monster story, but it's a poorly done monster story.
Oh, you're an ass. it is a little still. It's a little still, I'll give you that. But it's just one of those things where it's like, it's, the good classic
still.
Good versus evil.
It's not moving. Oh, you know what I mean?
No, well, you know, in comics you want to kind of, you know, capture action, they say, in each panel.
Slam.
I was not pleased. I mean, you no disrespect. But I feel like this is more of a, you know, like the cover, taking paintings and putting them on different panels. So I could see your criticism of being still. But I feel like, it's a story that's been done before with good versus evil, but it's enjoyable. It's not like, oh, this is horribly done. I feel like it's a good story. So,
what do you think of my criticism about not knowing enough ogres? That's spot on as well.
I tried to save it a little bit, but it didn't work out. All
right, cool. Let's move on and talk about Universal War One, number one. This is a French comic that Marvel is publishing. They started off with a book called Sky Doll, and this is their second book that I'm completely blanking on the name of the publisher.
Soleil.
Yes, thank you. So they are adapting it into English, of course, and re-releasing the books as a series. First of all, I would say kudos to Marvel for doing this. I think it's really, really great for them to be taking on these books that are not typical Marvel books and publishing them where otherwise American audiences would be.
And there are a lot of French comics. They have a whole thing that we never see. Like, they don't make
the... There's Tintin Comes Back.
Tintin Comes Back.
To be fair, I have no idea what I'm talking
about. Are you saying Tintin?
Yeah.
In French, we say Tintin.
You say me? Meaning you and your French friends?
Yeah, French club.
Yeah. That's for kissing. This is weird. I'm trying to start a French club after the show if anyone wants to. No. This is actually very good. It's great. The art's fantastic. The story's really cool, and it's really rich.
No, it's not. It's the stupid thing of, you know, like, all right, army, we're gonna go into this galaxy. We're gonna storm the place and make them be what we want to be. And then it's like one guy who's like, oh, I'm just gonna go into this black hole and see what happens. And then he's, oh, the lone guy saved the day, went into the black hole and found a whole nother thing. It's just, what the fuck is going on?
Every time you guys have badmouthed the comic, you've made it sound so cool. You're like, it's about Bigfoot and it's about an ogre killing people. That's terrible. And you're like, it's about a guy going to a black hole. These sound awesome. Like,
reverse psychology. Yeah.
Haven't you noticed?
We hate. Yeah. We don't like it.
We're really.
To explain the far future. Most of humanity, as far as I can tell, is in space, and suddenly a black wall shows up around one of the moons of Saturn or Uranus. It's the Earth, Mars. Anyway,
those are all planets. Everyone laughed because you said Uranus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very mature, guys.
It's only laughing at really smart material. Just wait for it. We'll get there. So.
Big wall shows up around some planet. I don't know what it is. And a bunch of ragtag group of astronauts try to break through it. This is not as inventive for me as Sky Doll. I mean, there are two entirely different stories, but Sky Doll, I thought, was really excellent. Created this fantastic other world. This, to me, feels a lot like an American space movie that is put into a comic book form.
Yeah, it's like
a well done one.
Yeah, it seems a lot like Warren Ellis esque.
Mm-hmm.
I would
say that.
But I think it's cool and the art's very good, as I said.
Yeah, I would recommend picking it up.
I was in France a while ago, and that's why I'm saying they have all these other comics. They have one with it.
Why didn't you think they would have comics in France?
Well, comics I've never seen. Like in the store, it was all French comics, like X Men,
like the Mrs. Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, that sounds really interesting.
He is a man.
You don't know.
He was bit by a spider.
You know, people are taping this right now.
I doubt it's any French people.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Hello. Bonjour. And that's it for the staff. Oh. It is.
We got one here.
Nice. It is time for too early.
We're not there yet.
No. Time for our next section, which is my favorite section because the section you guys make up is your audience questions. But then we're gonna bring out Booth Bang.
Booth Bang. Hormone rich Booth Bang.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The first question is for Alex Robinson. How did you get started in comics?
Did I look at you when I
No. Don't ever look at
me. Just like the sun, you don't look directly at me.
He's scared.
I've always been drawing comics, drawing cartoons ever since I was a little kid. I guess when I was about 13 or so, I started reading superhero comics and Marvel and DC, and that's when I said, that's what I want to do, that's what I'll. And so pretty much since then, I've been drawing my own comics, so. Christ, 25 years now? Oh my gosh. What am I doing?
This happens all the time.
Yeah. It's weird. We have a guest on that couch, for some reason, in the middle of it, they're like, why am I here?
He loves seeing people wither and die.
He really sets it up that way. What a host.
Just to do a little bit of a follow-up about that. I've asked people this before, but you started off reading superhero comics. Was going into more personal comics a necessity for starting out, or is it something that you were naturally drawn towards?
Well, when I was about 16 years old, I sent my stuff to Marvel Comics, and they turned me down for some reason. And that's when I vowed I would never work for them ever.
Wow.
Pretty much, right? I just got kind of bored with superhero comics. Once I realized the Fantastic Four weren't going to break up and Aunt May wasn't going to die, and, then I was just started looking for other more challenging.
What happens when you read that Aunt May did die, and then they made her come back?
I was very shocked. Yeah. Once she died, no one in comics ever dies.
Or comes back.
Yeah, that's what I meant. No one ever comes back.
Yeah.
Death is permanent.
Now, let's just say that you were approached by both Marvel and DC, and they were like, hey, you can write anything you want or draw anything. Would you want to do one of those, or are you still going to hold your vendetta?
No, I would love to do it. Yeah. They came begging to me that
yeah.
I'd be gracious in victory, and I would say, I will take over your flagship title. No, I guess I'd go back to the ones I loved when I was younger, like, Fantastic Four and X-Men and Spider-Man and those ones.
So, like by the mods.
Stop it.
Sorry. All right, let's go to the next question.
Hey, since Alan Moore has said he doesn't want his work adapted into film, is Zack Snyder doing the wrong thing?
Ooh. Nice.
Ooh. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Good question.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I told you.
What?
We have prizes.
Oh, we
have prizes.
We'll answer this question in a second. But first.
We have Too Cool to Be Forgotten candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Darling.
Who has the first question?
Here. There you are. I'm going to give one to the Frenchman. Does anyone else feel offended by anything? Oh,
just wait until the end of the show. Then.
Yeah.
Well, the offending line will start here.
Handing out cigarettes or kissing people.
Well, let's talk about this. Zach Snyder, Watchmen, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a different aspect later. But what do you guys think? Let's talk about it in a general sense. Of Alan Moore has disliked everything that's ever been made of his stuff. If the author says no, should people go ahead and make it anyway?
Here's the thing. Alan Moore is a little fucker. I've never smoked a cigarette. Oh, well, you have to hold it with a label?
No, you got to label out, man. You know, advertise. Cool. Come on.
Alan Moore is a little fussy. Like, he takes his name off. There's a joke that he takes his name off stuff the minute it's optioned for a movie. So, like, he's being kind of a dick. Now, granted, they are changing his work, which he says he just will not compromise on that. But he's making a bunch of money on that. I mean, he could say, all right, no more of my comics will be made in the movies. But he didn't say that after V for Vendetta.
Well, he doesn't make those decisions for Watchmen or any of the other films.
That's a good point.
What about you, Alex? If somebody wanted to make a Box Office Boys movie.
I'm much less fussy than Alan Moore. Give me a check and you can do whatever you want.
See, that's...
Well, what if it was like, Brett Ratner was like, I want to make Box Office Poison, and Lindsay Lohan is going to start it.
I'll take that. The bigger the name, the more I'm willing to go along with it. Because even if it sucks, my book is still there, and, 10 years from now, no one remembers the League of Gentlemen, movie, or the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie, so, the books are still there, and people still like them. So there you go. Cool.
I feel like there's a certain part of it where the author you gotta respect
close in my mouth.
The fact that he created it, and if he doesn't want it out there, then like I'm there's a reason they haven't made the Watchmen movie as of yet, because it is such a like holy grail of comics that I feel like. They're doing a good job of with this movie, so I'm not really upset and being like, oh, you should respect the author, but I feel like there is a certain amount of if the guy doesn't really want it out there, you have to be like, okay, we won't, even though tons of people will go see it. And stuff
like that. It's like saying,
right, that's how the world works.
It's like saying, like, he writes, he's like, all right, no one who lives in Asia can read Watchmen. I don't want people in Asia to read Watchmen. Like I'm saying, follow me on this. All
right. Are you saying this?
Yeah.
You're saying this.
No, I have a website. You should check it out. No, I'm saying like once he makes it, like it's out there. Like he can't control it that much. Otherwise, it's like writing a book for 10 people.
Which some people I think would like to do.
Well, that's not very profitable.
Let's go to the next question.
I guess the good news is at least he's getting money from, whereas like Jack Kirby didn't get a dime, you know, his estate didn't get anything from, you know, all those Marvel Comics movies that he did. So anyway, sorry to bring everyone
there. There should be something from his way.
Yeah, like, you know, you get the DVD after it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, sweet merch package.
Let's get the next question.
This one is related to Comic Con.
Okay.
If you could, who would you cosplay as for Comic Con?
Who do you cosplay as? Absolutely nobody ever.
What?
Cosplay?
What the hell? You can dress up as.
Yeah, cosplay is.
Oh, costume play. My, I do not know that. Cosplay.
Yeah.
Star. Great kid. Great kid.
You wouldn't ever dress up as any kind of.
I don't know. I know I'm a grump about this, but.
You're such a grump.
Yeah.
I didn't even say that.
Somebody take those away from them.
Oh, I didn't get one out. Who asked the last question?
I would get dressed up as one of the henchmen.
From what?
From Venture Brothers.
That's
oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
I will say, last
you
year.
You would totally get dressed up as one of the henchmen.
I don't know. I just feel like if I'm going to go there, I just want to be myself. I will say.
We're rising.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people in Alex costumes at the con as well. So.
Yeah, you guys wearing glasses and stuff.
I see hundreds of them. Man.
Right. I think for the most part, the costumes are not particularly well done, which is probably the thing that turns me off. I will say last year I saw a bunch of people in Futurama costumes, and they all went together as each of the characters from Futurama. They were really well done costumes. They really looked good, and it was actually kind of cute and a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm the only one who went out on a limb and said, I said, you guys are like, I'm too cool for that.
Same for the Teenage Mutant costume, clearly. Come on.
What's that costume?
Yeah,
spiky
yellow
hair.
And,
I feel like if I did it would be like, I would go as one of the guys from maintenance, and then I'd have to spend the whole time explaining who I was.
And cleaning up garbage.
Yeah, and cleaning up garbage too, probably. But, you know, I mean, I think it's a fun thing to do because it's, you know, one of the fun things about Comic-Con is people watching. And when people get excited about it and decked out, it's real. I mean, some of them are like, you should not be dressed as Princess Leia. you know, other stuff is like, it's fun, it's cool. I mean, I don't think it would take much for me to dress up as, you know, Princess
Let's
Leia.
Do it.
Princess
Leia.
What do you guys want Pete to dress up as at San Diego Comic-Con?
Alex
Albert. Yeah. He's in costume right now.
Done.
I would do a great Flash costume. In fact, I have a red leotard in my possession.
All right.
Tune in.
We're wearing it right now.
Wherever you want us to tune in, I don't want to.
All right, and that's it for your audience questions.
You want camera? Hey, no one's there. Here we go.
Oh, man.
Terrible. There's some more left here.
You don't hear anyone want. All
right, we'll see what happens. So we'll pass them out afterwards.
Yeah.
You guys will grab some stuff. Let's move on with our next section, which I like to call the Week in Geek. First thing we are going to talk about is The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight had the biggest box office weekend of all time this past week. It made $158 million.
That's right. My prediction was true, held true.
Your prediction?
I said for weeks it's going to be the biggest movie
for weeks?
I have.
Yeah. All right.
Check, we have.
I don't want to have Justin's back on this, but yes, he did say that.
Why do you think this movie was so good?
Because it was amazing. No, I mean, it was really. Kevin Smith said it was the Godfather 2 of comic book movies, which I think.
Well, but I mean, I think it was so big because it was so well hyped. The marketing for it was just.
Yeah, but also. It was well hyped, but it also was. You were like, "Oh, this is, it's everywhere. This better be good." Oh, it was good. Okay.
That means it was well hyped. I mean, that people who went there hadn't heard it was great from their friends because it just opened. So all those people had got tickets weeks in advance to be there for when it happened because it was supposed to be the monumental movie.
Have you seen it?
I did not see it.
Oh,
you said you were gonna lie.
Sorry, I did lie. I did see it.
So what did you think about specific plot points?
The part where the Riddler guy, the Joker was in it. He was all like, I'm going to get you, Batman.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, I love that part. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was really awesome.
Do you guys all see the movie?
Of course. I mean, Heath Ledger, I think, should get an Oscar nod. I mean, I really feel that he did such an amazing job with that character and took it to such a place that you should get nominated.
Well, he'll probably be nominated. It's funny, though, I watched the Channel 5 news, and even the reviewer on there was like, engrave the Oscar now. I was like, who? No, that literally everyone. And when the Channel 5 guy is like, he's like 60. And he's saying, get that Oscar to the state of Heath Ledger. It's like.
Now, is this only because he passed away? Would anyone be saying that if he was still alive?
I would.
Like, I don't know. A bunch of nerds would be saying
that. Hey!
Hey! Ian McKellen was wonderful as Magneto.
Yes. You're talking about these
Do you know
guys.
Where you are right now?
You're saying the Channel 5 news guy was saying it.
Yeah.
I saw some reporter talking about Hellboy when it opened last week, and she was like, this movie, which allegedly got great reviews, was the biggest, reporting how it did in the box office. She was so, horrified. She was like, this movie, which, whatever.
All the jocks are in big trouble, because it's comic book movie summer.
Do you think the movie will hold up in the long run?
Yeah.
Are you talking about while still in theaters or like?
Well, right now I do feel like there's a certain sense of it was previously anointed to be the biggest movie of all time. People have already said it was the best movie ever. It's the best movie anybody has ever seen and anybody ever will see.
What?
Do you think that's going to last? That feeling of
yeah, that high, that honeymoon feeling.
Yes, seriously.
No, I know.
Actually. But because in retrospect, at least for me, I would say Batman Begins, which I love and I think it's a great movie and really well structured, has massive third act problems. And when I came out of the movie, I wasn't like, that had massive third act problems. But months later, I was like, hey, you know what?
Yeah. This one had some third act problems.
Yeah, and some fourth act and fifth act problems.
Slam. I mean, the hype will go down. It'll start to become kind of cool to have problems with the movie, I think.
Yeah.
And people will then.
I'm gonna be on the forefront.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, only time will tell. But I don't think the honeymoon period is gonna end.
Honeymoon forever.
Yep.
That's the name of your band, isn't it? Some of them are a guy getting married.
All right. Next thing we're gonna talk about is San Diego Comic Con. Some of us are flying off tomorrow. We're, of course, flying off with you.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll carry your bags.
What are you looking forward to? What is a creator's life like at the con?
Oh, it's terrific. I'm standing behind a table for hours and hours and hours.
No one wants to hear this. Oh, you can anger them. Yeah. Fuck you guys.
No, I mean,
you heard me.
I mean, it's tough. It's a lot
there
of
is,
work,
there,
right?
is, there are fun things, but it's also like that's the working part, meeting people and it's not like I'm just going there and I can just say, hey, I'm gonna enjoy, do what I want, and when I get tired I can just go back and relax and read my comics and stuff like that. It's being on the clock. So I enjoy it. I enjoy meeting people and talking to them and stuff, but it's work.
Right. And it's not like, with the booth, you don't have a backstage area or anything like
right.
that where you can
yeah.
be like, okay, I'm going to rest for 5 minutes. It's literally you're standing behind a table for everybody to see all the time.
Right.
And if you sit down in a chair, somebody can still be like,
yeah.
hey, let me talk to you about something.
It's always great when I'm eating my sandwich.
You're upside of your sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Of your sandwich.
Well, also, the thing is, and this is turning to more of me being self-pitying, but who cares? I'm a very, very small fish at this pond, so it's not like Mocha or SBX where the people there are mostly there for alternative comics. I'm there and it's people dressed up as various manga characters and people coming up saying, oh, do you know where the Image booth is? So I'm just saying it's sort of it's such a huge show, and everyone's there about movies and video games. The comics are the smaller of the, you know, the sort of stepchild of the thing, and then the alternative comics are even smaller. So, so yeah.
Is there anything you're looking
forward to? It's a huge bummer.
What?
Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to? I mean, something you're doing out
well,
there.
Well, I like the moments where I can nerd out and go to things that I enjoy, you know, like the Simon Pegg is going to be doing some panel or something like that, so I'd like to try to go see that. And,
comic,
you know,
club.
Comic club. Seeing you guys again, because, you know, a little bit, what, 2 days?
I think you might have withered a little bit.
Gotta be there.
What was, what was your favorite thing you saw last year?
I didn't go last year. I went 2 years. There was 1 year I went and Jack Black was there promoting. It was just before, summer before King Kong came out. And it was like, he was walking around like a regular person. And he got literally a mob of like 400 people like surrounded him. And it was actually kind of scary because, you know, it was like a swarm around him.
You were in the swarm?
Well, it was right in front of our booth, actually. I was safely protected by 3 feet of, you know, table.
Wow.
So that was a pretty exciting thing to see.
Cool. But, what are you guys looking forward to?
Yeah, bring everyone back up after my...
well, it's besides the fact that it sucks.
Yeah. I can't wait to be miserable.
Looking forward to that.
I haven't even sifted through all. There's so much going on at this con.
I always look forward to going to where they got the replica lightsabers. And like all the kids like come running up and they're like, oh my god, how much? And it's like... $80, and then he like walks away all miserable. And they're like, well, I'll buy one and then go chase him down and be like, oh, you don't have anything to defend yourself with. I love that. That's like my favorite thing.
I truly believe
it. I buy a new one each time.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a surprise that way. All right, I think that's a good chance to move on to the next thing we're going to show you, which is a little trailer called Watchmen. Woo!
Hurry!
Nice work.
Thank you. No problem. It's faithful to the comic, to the graphic novel, but I I wish it was more like iconic. It does. I don't. Someone who doesn't know the comic is gonna be like, "What's this? Is this another trailer for like Wanted or something? Like, what's the deal?" Because you view it, it's like a trailer. It's like, oh, here's a bunch of characters I don't know and images. There's no story there, and it doesn't bring you in. It's like, for people that know it, it's like, oh yeah, this is like the comic. It's happening.
I think that's exactly what this trailer is supposed to be. I mean, it was attached to The Dark Knight. It's coming out. It's the thing that they're going to show at San Diego Comic Con, and I think they very clearly put it together for those people who know the comic.
Right,
that's the idea of the trailer.
But it's crazy. That's the audience they have. What person who doesn't? They're going
to
go.
They have to assure them though, because every single comic book. No, really, they're going to go see it.
Yeah.
They don't. They're pretending they're not going to go see it, but they need to be assured when they go see it that it looks right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You looked at me when you said they're pretending they're
going to
go.
Every asshole.
The Riddler, I think. Well, they have to, like you said, they have to sort of get their nerd fan base whipped up and have everyone be like, I really can't wait to see it, you know. And then you say, okay, once that gets going, you know, you have to sort of build on that part.
I don't know. I think it's a mistake. I think, like, Dark Knight, the way they did it is they, I mean, granted, everyone knows kind of who Batman is, but they just teased it out so slowly and built the hype, like, so methodically. And this seems they're like, here it is. What do you think? And it seems sloppy to me. It doesn't seem as measured and thoughtful.
Wow.
Jeez. Slam.
What?
Did I blow your days up or what? Yeah.
Okay.
Comic-Con sucks. Watchmen sucks. Let's get out of here.
That's it for week. Yeah. It is time for the next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, well, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you very much for showing up. What we do is we give you a chance to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate for Midtown Comics.
Woo-hoo!
But it's still $25. So, who would like to volunteer? Well, you in the back first hand up. Come on down.
Hey,
what's your name?
I'm Ben.
Ben, audience? Audience Ben.
Hi,
all right, Ben, so this could be yours.
Oh, can I stand here?
Yeah. Easy, Ben, easy. Wait for it. Okay, so how this is going to work is you have three questions. And for each question, you'll have three multiple choice answers. Listen to all three, then hopefully pick the correct one, and you go on to the next question. All right, here we go.
I'm so nervous.
Yeah. It's a little confusing, right? Didn't sound right?
Yeah. No screaming.
All right, here we go. So today's trivia is going to be about Comic-Con. Yeah. Yeah. Filled in the tension. Okay. What was the original name for the San Diego Comic-Con? Was it A, the San Diego Comic Book Festival, B, the Golden State Comic Book Convention, or C, Woodstock? So it's either A, San Diego Comic Book Festival, or B, the Golden State Comic Book Convention. We all know it was in Woodstock.
Yeah. You psyched me out. I don't know.
Is it A? I would say you think it's B.
It's B.
Yeah! He's one for one so far. Here we go.
Pete guest hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for a while.
Yeah. For some reason.
They lost a fortune.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why. All right, anyways. Comic Book International also provides for two other conventions. One is the Alternate Press Expo, or APE, as it's commonly known. The other one is it A, Wizard World, B, WonderCon, or C, the She-Ra Convention?
Is it A?
So it's either Wizard World, don't you dare fucking pick A. Don't pick A. Or it's B, WonderCon.
It's WonderCon.
WonderCon! Man, it's two for two. Here we go. At the... Yeah, yeah. How many
minutes? It helps me think.
Yeah. At the 1975 San Diego Comic-Con, one of the more notable guests was A, I'm glad the music stopped.
Yeah.
A, Jack Kirby. B, Chuck Norris. Or C, a young Gloria Stefan. So it's either A, Jack Kirby, or B, Chuck Norris. Now, really, this just comes down to which one of these two people you think is more important. Right. So, it's either A, Jack Kirby, or B, Chuck Norris.
Well, it's a king, you know. It's King Norris.
All right, Chuck Norris is! That's right, congratulations. $25 is yours.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out? Pete?
I'm going to have to say... Oh, man. This is tough. I want to say like three of them, but I know you yell at me when I do that. So I'm going to say Black Summer number 7.
Nice.
Invincible number 51. You see if he actually takes it in a new direction here, buddy.
We were in the New York Times together.
We know!
You know it wasn't the New York Times? Ba-doom.
I'm the host. Superman 678. I'm really interested to see what James Robinson is going to be doing with his run there. Love that James Robinson.
Shut up.
No, I'm his number one fan.
Don't.
On this show.
Don't.
Who's in the Times? Alex, what are you looking forward to?
Doi.
Really?
This is a good time to plug your book.
My book, which might come out tomorrow, and might come out.
It's coming out tomorrow.
It is coming out tomorrow. It just sort of knows it's not spiral bound. It's not. This is just a sort of.
This was a pre-copy that we got so we could read it.
Yeah. People who don't want to go out and buy their own copies got the spiral bound.
All you gotta do is ask. Free spiral bound.
It's true. And so I don't want everyone to be looking for a spiral bound book.
It's a hardback book.
Yes. Yeah, my book. That's what I'm most looking forward to. I can't wait to read my book.
Cool. And are you going to be on any panels, or are you just hanging out at the
I will be at a panel Friday. It's a panel about international comics. Oh. How I got that guy, I don't know.
Was it arranged by a French?
Only making it worse.
Yeah, really.
All right. Sorry.
Desolate.
In Asia, apparently.
A couple of things I want to plug before we go. Next week, we are going to have Bob Joy from DC Comics on the show.
Yeah.
As well as Tom Brevoort from Marvel Comics on the show.
Ooh. Oh, Battle Royale!
And one of them will not make it out alive. Yeah. That is a promise. That is a Comic Book Club promise.
Who's stronger? That's the question. It's the stronger.
It's Tom Brevoort.
Definitely.
No, actually, it's probably Bob Joy.
I don't know.
Bob Joy's Pete's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Joyfriend.
Thanks, we are going to be at San Diego Comic Con as well, so if you have friends there, please tell them to come see our panel Saturday at 5:30. Also, you can check us out 3 times a week at pulpsecret.com, pulpsecret.com. You can check me out in the New York Times, and there's a couple of people. Alex, the New York guys, we're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. We'll see you next week. Good night!
Thank you.
Oh, man. Nice work out there.
That was
hard. You're telling me.